Sunday, September 5th, 2021. Welcome, if you'd please open your Bibles and read with me our scriptures this week from James 2, 1 through 10, and Mark 7, 24 through 37. James writes to us in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Favoritism forbidden. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, do not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there," or "Sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. It is not the rich who are exploiting you. Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whosoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 through 37, we read the faith of the Syrophoenician woman. Starting in verse 24, Jesus left that place and he went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. The healing of the deaf and the mute man. Verse 31. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hands on the man. And after he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh, said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In our gospel reading today, we learn of two very different miracles performed by Jesus. Well, the first introduces us to a remarkable woman. She is courageous, she is clever, and she's cool. It reminds me of my wife, Bonnie, always willing to speak to anyone, to right or wrong. Well, this Phoenician mom is most of all a loving mama who will do anything to help her sick baby girl. And the NIV titles it, "The Faith of the Syrophoenician Woman." Well, the second is the healing of the deaf and a mute man. In it, we see that non-Jewish people, like the Jews, brought this deaf and mute man to Jesus to be healed. A bold move on their part. To risk seeking help from a Jew or even seem or acting like a Jew, they were willing to do anything to get this deaf and mute man the healing he needed. And both of these miracles were performed in Gentile territory. Because verse 24 tells us that he went to the vicinity of Tyre. And verse 31, it tells us that he continued to into the Gentile region. He went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of the Decapolis. It's clear Jesus wanted to minister in Gentile lands. And verse 24 also tells us that he didn't want anyone to know where he was. And again in verse 36, Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. But the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. We don't have any idea why he took such an indirect route, and some suggest ever since the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus and his disciples had been, for the most part, skirting the region of Galilee. His purpose was to avoid opposition in Galilee and have an opportunity to teach his disciples privately. But there are also a further emphasis on the inclusion of the Gentiles in God's plan of salvation. So maybe he was teaching his disciples and us to be open to other cultures and not show favoritism, as we read in James 2, 1 through 10. So let's take a closer look at these two stories in our gospel reading today. The first, recorded by Mark, tells us of how Jesus saw the faith of a mother and sends a demon out of her daughter. The story itself has always been one that I just as soon skip over it, because at first reading it makes Jesus come off like some insensitive jerk. Well, this doesn't sound like Jesus I know. In fact, I wondered why such a story was preserved in the gospel record anyway. Some commentators have tried to explain, and some have said that Jesus was just having a bad day. He and the 12 had gone north out of Galilee. That's the only time the Gospels have Jesus and his disciples leaving his native land for some rest and relaxation, taking a vacation to get away from all those awestruck and sometimes troublesome Jews. But instead, he is discovered and confronted by this insistent mother, admittedly a most courageous woman, who is violating every standard of acceptable feminine behavior by publicly conversing with a man who is not even her husband. Instead of reacting to her as he normally might, Jesus tries to blow her off with an insult. Then finally wises up and acts decent again. It was a bad day, courageous woman or not. Even the Son of God is entitled to a bad day every so often. That is what some commentators say, and I have trouble with that. Others suggest that this event was part of the Lord's growth and development, a learning experience for him. If, as an account of his boyhood attests, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men, Luke 2:52, we may presume that his growth continued as an adult, being raised a Jew and being taught by a heritage that Gentiles like this lady are nothing more than dogs looking for their next meal. Well, Jesus learns here that divine love knows no boundaries, racial or otherwise. This was a learning experience for him, perhaps, but I'm still not comfortable with that interpretation. Others say that this bantering back and forth between Jesus and the woman was merely the Lord's way of teaching inclusiveness. But his initial reluctance to care for any Gentile, he was simply giving voice to the not-so-quietly harbored feelings of his Jewish followers. By finally agreeing and fulfilling the woman's cry for help, Jesus was demonstrating the inclusiveness of God's love. And there, boy, he taught his disciples that racism had no place in the kingdom. And this encounter was simply one more of Jesus' parables, and this time come to life. Well, that's possible, but it's still a stretch, though. How about the language out of the encounter? At first glance, Jesus sounds awfully rough. It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Well, the mom knew the ill feelings between Jews and Gentiles about calling her dog to her face. Well, after all, calling someone a dog, even a pet puppy, as the Greek here suggests, is a term of abuse, if ever there was one. But this lady was sharp enough to realize that this was only playful banter. She responded in kind, and it worked, and her daughter was healed. I know one of my best friends often greet me by saying, "Hey, they're uglier than me," or if I show up late at a friend's house and the first thing out of their mouth is, "It's about time." Well, both greetings tell me that they're glad to see me. We need to remember that we are reading and hearing this with Western eyes and ears. We must read this through the culture of the Middle East. Otherwise, we are victimized by our own ethic blinders. It was truly a wonderful counter that used this playful banter of the day that is unfortunately lost on most of today's readers. The gospel writer understood it, even if we don't. And that's why it's still with us today. Come to think of it, perhaps its placement in the narrative right next to the healing of the deaf man should have given us a clue all along. Where two things jump out at me from the gospel account. First, a reference to the spit. Indelicate, yes, but in the ancient world, it was believed that the spittle of a famous person had magically curative powers. Well, even today, my own children know that, and have known that since they were little, that a father's spit is the most powerful cleaning agent in the world. Not just dads, but moms, too. How many of you had your parents spit on a tissue before cleaning a smudge off your face? Was it necessary for healing this man? I doubt it. But Mark reports it anyway. Jesus was acting in a recognizable way that this man and onlookers would have been accustomed to. The second thing that grabs me is this untranslated Aramaic command, Ephphatha, which Mark translates for us, which means be opened. Perhaps this is Mark's way of ensuring that no one would ever miss the need for us to be opened to the wisdom that the gospel knows no boundaries, not geographic, not sexual, not racial, not any. Ephphatha, be opened. Can the good news be limited by race? The story of a certain Gentile who sought healing for her daughter says no. Ephphatha, be opened. Can it be limited by geography? Not in Jesus' day, and certainly not in ours. Ephphatha, be opened. The word of Jesus to the church is loud and clear. Ephphatha, be open. The gospel is not inclusive property of one group or another, one denomination or another, and if we would ever hope to heal the division that separates us, we will remember to obey the command, Ephphatha. The word is not just for healing of the church. Remember, it came first to a man who needed help. The Spirit of Jesus is speaking again and saying to us who need help, Ephphatha, be opened. Let your ears be open to Christ's word of forgiveness for your sins. Ephphatha, be opened. Let your eyes be open to see the opportunities God is making available to you in the world. Ephphatha, be opened. Let your mind be open to new ways of thinking that will expand your understanding of God's will for you and yours. Ephphatha, be opened. Let your mouth be open to share with your friends what God is doing in your life. Ephphatha, be opened. Let your life be open to the movement of the Spirit. Open to release from whatever is scaring you, stopping you, holding you back from becoming the person you want to be, the person God wants you to be. Ephphatha, be opened. It's a word we need to hear over and over again. Well, in his service, this has been Pastor Joe.